swing and a high drive. Deep left field, on its way, back to the wall. Lyle, it's out of room, it's gone! And it's happened again, Harper this time! Bryce Harper puts the Phillies on top! 7-5 in the top of the ninth!
They did it again. What a week for the Phillies. And joining us right now to talk about it as they get ready for another road series, this time up in New York against the Mets, is Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right. Kind of a crazy week.
So how does it feel to be a part of history, Scott, with that legendary, number one, with the legendary call, and you know what, you know, the sidebars, what the Phillies were able to do?
It is fun to be, again, we're just here, as broadcasters. We just get to see what they do. Mm-hmm. And, I've been really lucky throughout my whole career to be around this team and to see so many cool, great moments. And this week was pretty remarkable. I mean, I know the Nationals bullpen struggles. I get it. But baseball's hard, and to do what the Phillies did 3 days in a row, I don't care who the bullpen is, that's crazy stuff right there, what they were just able to do, even to a bad bullpen. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, that's on another kind of another level. Obviously, it's never happened before in baseball history to hit three go-ahead homers in the ninth inning 3 days in a row. It's unheard of.
Well, Scott, it is. And, you know, every year, every team, to me, develops a personality. And even though they might have a lot of the same players, each year is its own thing. And, Scott, we had this week the three in a row. I think back to that Friday night game in Pittsburgh where Nola got hit early, and I kind of just said, they're going to lose tonight. And then they came back and won that game in extras. It feels to me like this team is developing a little bit of a personality here in which they're not out of games. Even though the offense hasn't been great in general, they're not out of games. And that's pretty encouraging, Scott, because you need to have a few of those up your sleeve if you're going to have a special season.
Yeah, you do, because your pitchers can't. I mean, they can't just go seven innings and allow two runs every single night. It's not realistic. You're going to – and obviously the offense in the month of June has been terrific. They've clearly gotten things together. And, you know, you talk about the personality of never being out of it. I think the other part of the personality that may be starting to develop is that they don't need to sit around and wait for Schwarber and Harper to do something magical, right? There's other guys that are doing things. And we saw it this week, you know, four game-tying or go-ahead homers in the ninth inning, and they were hit by four different players, right? Harper had the one last night, go-ahead homer from Hill, tying homer from Marsh, go-ahead homer from Stott. And that's when you start to develop the personality of a team that anybody can be the hero on any given night. Anybody can contribute on a certain night. And you don't have to wait necessarily for the two big guns to sit around. You know, we're just going to sit around and watch them do something great. No, we're going to do our own great things.
Scott, let's talk about a couple of those guys that contributed this week and have been contributing. Derek Hill, I mean, it's turned into, and it's a small sample, but a very productive trade so far. He's hit as a Philly, and Scott, there's not many guys like this around anymore. He seems to be very comfortable as a pinch hitter, which that could be a huge thing, especially as the season goes on. You know, let's say the Phillies acquire more of an everyday right fielder, and Derek Hill becomes more of a platoon guy or a fourth outfielder. There could be a lot of moments, Scott, in big games where maybe Justin Crawford starts, but a lefty is in late. Derek Hill could be a weapon off the bench for them.
You know, one of the great things, and you pointed out, his pinch hitting numbers are really, really good. And a lot of that was built up with the White Sox. But it's a skill. It's a tough skill. And I know Derek has been really complimentary of the guys in the cage, you know, the hitting group, to get him ready for those at-bats. But the thing about Derek Hill is he's not just a valuable pinch hitter. He's a premier defender, right? So you can get a defensive upgrade out of him. You can get a base running upgrade out of him. You can get the pinch hit angle. Or if he's going to keep hitting like this, he's going to take down some starts as well. So I just think he's checking a lot of boxes right now, and you're right, it's a small sample. But that's, you know, if you're the third, fourth, or fifth outfielder in a club, that's kind of the way it works. You're going to have some hot streaks. You're going to have some cold streaks. That's why you're an extra outfielder and not an everyday outfielder. But I think it's great that he's not just a great pinch hitter. He does all the other things well. So that makes it really valuable for a manager to be able to do a lot of different things late in the game.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. Scott, what are you noticing with Bryson Stott? I mean, we've seen some of this in the past. You know, last August and September, he played really well. Got off to a really tough start. I think he entered May with a low fives in the OPSs. But it feels like now it's a good 6-7 weeks where he's really hit the way I think we hoped he would hit. What are you noticing with Stott who hit that big home run the other night?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the first month or so, he was hitting a lot of balls the same. He was pulling the ball a lot. He was, you know, hitting it hard. His hard hit rate was really, really high. His pull rate was higher than it had ever been, but he wasn't getting hits. You could say maybe he was hitting into some bad luck. And I think he has maintained that, look, what I did at the end of last season worked. I'm going to stay with it. He started with it. He just wasn't getting hits to fall. And rather than tinker with it and go back to doing something else, he stayed with it. And now some stuff is starting to break his way. So, I mean, clearly what the turnaround for both he and Bohm, because they're in the middle of the lineup every day, the turnaround for those two are a big reason why the offensive numbers have jumped here in the month of June.
Scott, we keep talking about the trade deadline coming up in August, or it's about 38 days away, a little over 5 weeks. And it feels like every time we have the conversation, we kind of shift the priorities. You know, it feels like the Phillies could use help, certainly in the outfield. Another back end of the rotation depth piece, considering Andrew Painter's now in the minor leagues. And a relief pitcher. Scott, that's the area that I've started to kind of move up my daily power rankings, is the relief pitcher. What are you thinking where this bullpen is right now? Because Duran is so great, it just feels like in front of Duran, there just are a lot of questions, and I'm not sure who I trust the most right now, especially with the injury to Keller and trying to piece together that eighth inning in front of Duran.
Yeah, the number one thing is you can never have enough, right? Or you can never have too much. So go out and acquire some pitching. And honestly, you know, a solid sixth, seventh, eighth inning type guy, sixth, seventh inning guy, could go a long way to helping your pen, because it means you don't have to overuse Kirkering and Alvarado and you know, Meza and, you know, guys in the, you know, not the premier back end guys, but the other guys, the setup guys. And there's probably going to be a few more of those available than you would find in, say, a big time right handed hitting outfielder, right? That's a limited universe right now in Major League Baseball, especially when you consider there's so many teams that are still in the wild card race. Or at least like to believe they're still in the wild card race, and they might go for it. So I do think pitching is an area, whether it's, you know, back into the rotation or bullpen arms, it's a major focus for this front office right now. And I mean, it is every year, but, you know, again, I think that's the easiest path to try to upgrade your club. And I'm curious to see if they, you know, have anybody in the minor leagues that, you know, could do anything, you know, those under the radar guys that might be at Double A. If you start to see them moving up to Triple A and get the big league baseball in their hand, that might be an indication that the organization thinks they might be able to help too.
You know, Scott, I'm kind of curious to see how you feel about this, because I got on some pretty good intel that Alec Bohm has made it past phase one of All-Star voting. And I just wanted to know, how did you feel or what did you see from his turnaround season that he's having right now?
Well, again, Alec, he's a different kind of player. I mean, I can get it why people get frustrated sometimes. But he really, after the first month, you know, you look at his numbers in aggregate, he's starting to trend towards his career numbers. I mean, obviously, I think they'd like to see he and JT and Trey do a little more damage against left-handed pitching. I think that still remains something that they would like to see more of. Alec has been the best of those three in that regard. I'm not sure why lefties give JT so much trouble in particular, because his numbers against righties are way better than they are against lefties, which is a bit of a head scratcher. Same thing with Trey, especially when you compare it against his career numbers. He's never had a problem hitting against lefties. So, you know, I think all three of those guys need to continue to improve against lefties. That would help the offense a lot. But Alec is just kind of a steady guy. I don't, you know, again, I don't know that he's doing anything terribly differently. He always tries to stay in the middle of the field. That never changes. He doesn't. I mean, he likes to swing early in counts. He likes to swing at the first pitch. And I know that can be frustrating for some people to watch at times. But his career numbers, you know, when getting that first pitch in play are pretty good. So you can understand why he's, you know, why he sticks with that formula for himself.
You know what, Scott, I was just thinking, because I made a bold prediction at the beginning of the season that he would hit 15 home runs.
That was not your bold
prediction.
Me.
I'm talking to Scott. Okay. Excuse me. I made a bold prediction.
Are you guys okay? Are you guys all right?
No.
We actually are.
No. We're healing.
We're great. Still.
Scott. You know, I know it can be tough to work with the same partner all the time. So just, you know, I want to make sure you guys are good.
No, Scott,
that's why
fine.
They got to rotate him with you so you don't have a moment. Yeah, I get
Scott,
it.
We're fine, but like I was saying, Jill likes to cut me off. But like I was saying, made a bold prediction at the beginning of the year that he would hit 15 home runs. He's at 9 now. So how close do you think he's going to get to having those?
This guy.
What are you talking about?
You are unbelievable.
His bold, Scott, his bold prediction was 30 home runs. He's changed it.
Oh, liar.
Oh.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
He's taking the – so here's the – pull the curtain back. Scott, he's taking the – Alec Bohm makes the round two of the phase two of voting as a win for his prediction.
Yes.
He came in here today. He's like, do you see round – he's in round two, Alec Bohm. You see this?
Yeah. He's probably not going to hit 30, Hugh. But if he does, that would be amazing. What a second half that would be.
Yes.
But, yeah, your bold prediction, I think he'll get to 15.
See?
Yeah.
All right, you win. He wins this round. We'll give it to him. Scott, thank you so much for hopping on, as always. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening against the Mets.
Have a good one, Scott.
Hey, you boys hug it out now, all right?
No, we're good.
We did it already, Scott. We're good. All right, Scott. We'll talk soon.
There
he goes.
We're healing.
Scott Fransky there.
One day at a time.
Yes. We're still healing. This guy's something else.
What are you talking about?
I knew it. As soon as I saw the bone thing, you're going to take that as a win.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm moving the line.
And moving
the, move the line.
You know what? Here's the worst part. If you had altered the prediction to 20 or 25, I might have let it slide. You cut it in half. 15? The saddest bold home run prediction of all time. I boldly predict a corner infielder will hit 15 home runs in a season. Wow.
Man, you're cooking, dude.
This guy's something else.
Pathetic.
All right, 215-592-9494. Milt Thompson is going to join us at 1 o'clock. They're excited to talk to him about the HBCU Swingman Classic as part of the All-Star Game festivities at Citizens Bank Park coming up in just a couple weeks. And we've been talking about a lot today, including the Phillies. Are they a great team? Bryce Harper said it after the game last night. This team is great. And Jalen Hurts ranked 84th on Pete Prisco's top 100 on CBS Sports, 17th among quarterbacks. We all think that's fair in here. Now, some gripes with some of the guys above him, but 17 does not feel unfair.
Get Jaden Daniels the hell out of there. I'm sorry.
I think Jaden Daniels is a tough one to rank because he looked so good his first year, yes. And then basically last year was a lost season.
You know,
what do you do with him?
I'm ready to make a bold prediction.
Uh-oh. On Jaden.
Jaden Daniels never reaches the heights that he did in his first year ever again in the NFL.
You mean in terms of just the play or how far they go?
Both.
The second one definitely seems like it could happen.
The Commanders are never getting back to the NFC.
They've got their ones in 30 years. Yeah. That might not happen again.
But I don't know. I don't see...
This is a huge year for him.
I don't know if I envision MVP-level play from him ever again.
Maybe not. I mean, he was a dark horse MVP candidate last season. People thought like he was going to take that first year.
You mean in his second year, like to jump off his first
year?
Yeah,
like almost like Mahomes.
Right. Okay, going into the year.
Yeah, because people said like this was Mahomes looked that good, and then he became the MVP. And obviously, he got hurt.
And the Commanders are going to school. Like, I mean, you want to talk about screwing up an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
I think they thought they were in a much... I think they thought their window opened sooner than it really did, and they're going to blow it.
Yeah, they might. Hugh, where are you at on Daniels? I could see a path where if he stays healthy, he's dynamic. I mean, he looked special 2 years ago, but maybe he's just going to be injury prone.
You know what? I hope, and this is what you worry about when you have young quarterbacks, because we saw it with C.J. Stroud. We kind of saw it with Caleb Williams in Chicago, but I like the coach that he has with him right now.
He seemed to stabilize.
Because he seemed to stabilize. But a lot of times, and I don't know exactly what it is, it just feels like young, especially at the quarterback position, they had these tremendous highs, right, that first year, and they get all these accolades and stuff, and for whatever reason, that second year they come back, and they struggle mightily. Part of that is the defense has gotten a book on you, and they take away everything that you did well last year. That's where you have to grow, and you really have to lock in as a quarterback. And I think that also when you have quarterbacks like that, you got to put some talent around them and help them grow, and don't make it so hard for them.
We've seen a lot of examples of that, right?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's one of those things where the quarterback position, to me, I mean, you got to evolve at every position. You can't be the same every year. But at the quarterback position, you really have to evolve.
I agree with it. This year feels like the tell on Daniels. I mean, Stroud's an interesting one because he never looked as good as he has his rookie year, right? He's just kind of been okay the last few years. Two examples of huge ones in the last 15 years. I mean, one was a commander, right? RG3. I mean, RG3 was an MVP candidate his first year, never was good again. And the other one we know well. I mean, Carson Wentz. Now, again, those guys had significant injuries. I wouldn't say Daniel's injury last year to his non-throwing elbow is the same. That feels more like he could recover from that. Wentz and RG3 had knee injuries. That changed their games. But we've seen it. I mean, guys look like they're MVP players, and then they're not good anymore. That week one game is fascinating between the Eagles and Commanders because, like, if Jaden Daniels is the guy he was 2 years ago, that's not an easy game for the Eagles.
Nah.
But if he's not, and the Eagles are as good as people think, the Eagles could win that game by 10 points. What's your first thought?
On the game?
Yeah, a couple months out, that week one game. The Eagles need to win that game. It's a must win.
I think the Eagles are going to win.
It's a must
but
win.
I think the
you disagree?
I think it'd be good for the psyche of the fan base. So I understand when you say must win. I understand where you're going. I feel like it's not going to be pretty. But that's been the mantra of Jalen Hurts his whole time he's been here since the whole time that I've been here.
We're going to do more not pretty wins? I want a pretty win. You ever want a pretty win?
Listen, we can't always get what we want, man.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes you get what you need.
You get what you need, man. And we need a win. Mm. And I think we'll get that. You know what? It's going to be a perfect storm, Joe, and I'm recklessly speculating here because what's going to happen is this, and this is how I see it happening. We're going to be coming off of watching the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks go toe-to-toe.
Right.
Now, somebody said the other day, well, I don't think AJ's going to do this or that. I think that game is going to be a highly contested matchup. I think it's going to be a lot more exciting than people give it credit for. It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be what we saw in the Super Bowl.
I think it'll be closer. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that. And we're going to have that we're going to have that as Eagle fans because one of our own is there playing. We're going to have that in our head. And then when we watch our game, we're going to compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have problems with what we saw because it didn't look like what we saw with the team that played first. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of people going to be in their feelings and they're going to be talking about why, you know, so it's going to be a little tough, but we're going to win. I think we're going to win. It's just not going to be pretty.
Well, and just like based on the defenses, you would think the Eagles have a much easier matchup, right? The Commanders defense stunk last year. I know they drafted a talented linebacker in the first round, but they had a bad defense.
Yeah.
The Seahawks had the best defense. So you would think we should move the football compared to the AJ Brown's new team. We shall see. Lucien is in Jersey. What's up, Lucien?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Lucien? What are you thinking?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Phillies. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they're good. I think they can be great. I think the pitching has to be better before we call them a great team, though. I mean, I know offense was the biggest struggle in the playoffs last year, but the pitching has always took us a long way, and I don't want us to be down in the ninth inning every game.
Well, yeah, you can't live like that, Lucien, for sure. I mean, it's a fun thing to do every couple weeks, or in this case, three times in 1 week. But yeah, I mean, they need to be more consistent offensively and get the good pitching to make us feel great about this thing.
Yeah, I think though with the thing with Harper, I found it funny he was kind of showing off the ring finger and whatnot. I don't know if that was talking about a World Series or if he was just, you know, talking back to the fans, but I don't know. I feel like Harper plays better when he has something to be angry about or he has something to feed off of, like, you know, people being mad at him. So I kind of liked what the Nationals fans are doing there.
I agree with you. Lucien, a lot of great athletes are like that, right? They
thrive off of the negativity.
Yeah, and sometimes they create their own. I mean, remember the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary and the Bulls? Like, he would create slights that weren't even really there and just, like, create it so he could get motivated, so he could beat the crap out of different players and teams. So you're right. I mean, when Bryce Bryce, I think it was Bryce's first year here. They were in San Francisco in August, late in the season, and they were chanting overrated at him, overpaid or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and he hit a home run. I think there's a lot of athletes that feed off of that. Lucien, are you ready for a matchup here? Hugh against someone above him on Herb's list?
Yeah,
all right, let's do it. All right, so Hugh Douglas came in at number 66 on Herb in the Northeast, top 80 athletes of the century. Coming in well ahead of him at number 22, I need to ask you, who is the better Eagle of the last of this century, Hugh Douglas or Terrell Owens?
Oh, man, you're doing Hugh dirty there, man.
No, I'm just asking questions. Hey. This is not even my list.
It was T.O., man.
T.O.?
I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
The Eagles kept on going to the championship every single year.
Yeah.
But it was once they got T.O., man, that he was the deal breaker for them.
Well,
and, you know, obviously they lost to the Patriots and that, you know, that Spygate and whatnot. But still, I got to give it to T.O.
It's fair. Lucien, good phone call. It's fair. Now, let me just kind of even the scales a little bit. If we're being honest of who the better football player was in their NFL careers, T.O., right? T.O. is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest receivers of all time. It is a list, though, of the best athletes Philadelphia since 2000. I mean, Hugh, you did more as an Eagle in this time span. T.O. was only here for one-plus year.
But people
now, he was great. He was great.
People don't look at it like that, and that's why, you know, I'm not mad about it, because the criteria for some is it's different, and I get it, because even I would say that T.O. got us over the hump, man. T.O., even though we were stars in our own right, T.O., when he got here, the celebrity was different.
Oh yeah,
it was different, and it felt different. He had a different vibe about him. Even now, it's certain athletes, man, and it's most of them play offense, because Brian Westbrook, the same thing. They have a different aura than defensive players. You know, you have very few defensive players that I would dare to say have the aura of an offensive guy.
Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that doesn't happen a whole lot. So, again, I don't feel slighted when you say T.O. or Malcolm Jenkins or somebody else is better than me, because I feel like I'm being honest when I say that they were. Because I look at them in a different light. You know, especially when you talk about, again, when you talk about what Malcolm meant to the Philadelphia Eagles, and during that tumultuous time in the NFL, he was a leader, and I commend him for that.
Malcolm's the toughest one I think I've thrown out so far.
That's a no-brainer. You know, so I'm not offended.
But he was only here a year plus. I mean, he played. I wonder how many games he actually started as an Eagle. 20.
Yeah, but when you talk about some of the most impactful 20 games.
I know. But the end also was a mess.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's the trade. To me, the trade-off was worth it.
Well, I'm sure the Eagles feel that deep down, too.
Yeah, the trade-off was definitely worth it.
And he was awesome in the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Get back to all your phone calls and all of this coming up. The Phillies, Bryce Harper last night called him great after the game. Do you feel that? Is this a great baseball team we're watching right now? They have played like it under Don Mattingly. They have something about them late in games with four huge comebacks this season, including three this week. And they're playing at 109-win pace since they changed the manager in late April and Zach Wheeler came back. Your take on the Phillies right now after an amazing week. Jalen Hurts ranks 17th among quarterbacks in a recent top 100 ranking of NFL players. Fair, not fair? And we'll throw matchups at you. Hugh is ranked 66th on the big list unveiled yesterday by Herb in the Northeast. Who should he be above? We'll continue with that. Plus, Hugh mentioned it. We got caught up yesterday in All-Star voting. We are now in phase two. I think last night showed us two things, but All-Star voting and a Philly that may have cost himself a start in the game. We'll hit that next. Who's going to try to take a victory lap? It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Speaking of All-Stars, we did get a big update yesterday. So phase one of All-Star voting is complete. Hugh, we are now on to phase two, which I believe resets. So like
Monday.
Yes, so there's a new round of voting. So the fact that, you know, this guy was that many hundreds of thousands ahead of that guy doesn't matter. We start over, but now it's just two players left for each position. So some good news, not so good news for the Phillies. You want to start with the good news or bad news first?
Let's start with the bad news.
All right, the bad news is Kyle Schwarber cannot start the All-Star game because the top vote getter from phase one in each league is automatically in at that position. So it is Shohei Ohtani as the DH in the National League. He won the most votes, so he's the DH. And the American League, it's Ernie Clement for some reason. I don't know why, but whatever. So those two guys will start the All-Star game. That means Schwarber cannot start. Yeah. Also, the bad news is Bryce Harper will not start the All-Star game here in Philadelphia. It is Matt Olson and Freddie Freeman at the top two spots at first base. One of those two will
How
be the starter.
How crazy is that?
Uh-huh.
Because Matt Olson took Freddie's job.
I know. And now they're pitted against each other. But no Bryce. No Bryce.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The other thing, and this has nothing to do with the voting. This is just my perception. Hugh, I think we are moving further away from Christopher Sanchez starting the All-Star game. Did not pitch great last night.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mizorowski is just, you know, going out there and striking out 15 every time you see him. I think we're not going to get that either. So we are down to three. Now, I'm not saying it's over for Sanchez. Could still happen. But my guess is we're down to three possible starters in the All-Star game representing the Phillies. Hugh, based on the voting, phase one into phase two, those three guys that could start the All-Star game for the Phillies, Brandon Marsh in the outfield, which makes plenty of sense. He is among the top six. So outfielders, they do six. All the other positions, they obviously do two. You got to pick three outfielders. So Brandon Marsh makes it to phase two, along with Andy Páez, Ronald Acuña Jr., who's hurt, Teoscar Hernandez, Juan Soto, and Michael Harris. Hugh, I give Marsh a very good chance of being one of those top three in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two guys, and we're gonna know, I know what Hugh's going to do. He's going to take this as a win, but actually so am I, so we're both going to do that. At third base, the finalists are Max Muncy of the Dodgers and Alec Bohm of the Phillies.
I had to tell y'all, man, a couple weeks ago.
You did not.
When Don put his hands on his shoulder and said, hey, young man, believe in you. It changed his whole life.
Yeah.
Changed his life. And now he's doing this with all the turmoil and, you know, all the stuff that's swirling around in his personals. He's made it to the second phase of voting.
And it makes you look like your prediction was spot on.
Hey, man, I said 15 home runs.
You did not. I mean, that's
said
not.
12.
You said 30, but that's okay. So let's
with a straight face.
So if he wins the vote here starting next week, are you going to take it as a win?
Well, okay, if we're being fair, because I try to be fair and balanced. Of course I am.
Okay.
Of course I am.
I know. I knew it.
I'm going to move the line. I'm going to move the line.
Here's an actual.
Now, he didn't hit the 30 home runs like I predicted, but to make it to All-Star game, that's pretty good.
Here's an actual win. When we did our bowl predictions, and we've talked more about yours this season because it was a good bowl prediction.
It was ridiculous.
Yes, it was. But you said Alec Bowman hit 30 home runs on opening day. And my bowl prediction was that Bryson Stott would start the All-Star game right here in Philadelphia. Now, do I actually think he's deserving of being the All-Star starter? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
But Bryson Stott also made it to the final round of voting.
Congratulations for him.
So it is Ozzie Albies against Bryson Stott. One of those two will start. And it is Max Muncy against Alec Bohm. One of those two will start at third base. And then Marsh is among the six outfielders. Three of those guys will start. Hugh, if you had a guess right now, of the three, how many of them start the All-Star game?
Of the three, say it, Bohm, Stott.
And Marsh. All the finalists now to start in round
Marsh,
two.
Marsh. I'm going to say Marsh and Bohm.
You think Bohm's going to beat Muncy?
I think so. For selfish reasons.
I think it's just going to be Marsh.
Yeah, because I can't see. You're talking about Albies?
Albies versus Stott.
Yeah, no. I don't see that one.
Now, we could stuff the ballot box.
I've been trying. As a matter of fact, I went to vote,
you
but I can't
wait
vote
until Monday?
Monday. Yeah,
okay.
I got to wait till Monday.
So we know what Hugh's going to be doing on Monday.
Oh, yeah, I'm
all
voting.
Day Monday? Voting for the All-Star game?
Yeah, well, you know, technically, I'll be on the golf course Monday, but I'll be voting with my phone.
You have your clubs ready to go?
Nope.
You have your outfit picked out?
I haven't figured it out yet. See, shout out to my man. Who was it yesterday? I forgot.
Bo Allen.
Who knows?
Yeah, I forgot. Bo hooked me up with a Chubby's outfit. I might wear that. But I'm telling you, man, them shorts are a little snug, man.
I don't know if that's a golf outfit.
Yeah, and them shorts is super snug.
Right.
Them some snug ass. No, I don't think I could probably pull that one off. But I got a nice little collared shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wear that.
You wear a cap? A lot of guys wear the golf hat.
Probably
on
not.
On the golf course.
Probably not. I'm going to probably wear, I don't know if it's going to be warm, so I might wear some nice slacks.
So the olive green sweatsuit is not part of the rotation?
It's not. It's out.
Because this is like a highbrow type situation.
Uh-oh.
So I got to, you know, I'm going to take pictures and stuff and, you know, just ride around a golf cart and be Professional.
Oh, professional.
You know, that's hard for me to do.
It's been a big professional week around here. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls. And we got to play a clip, 106.7 The Fan down in D.C. Apparently, our guys, J.P. Finlay and Brian Mitchell, B-Mitch, ripping Bryce Harper this morning. We'll get to that. First, though, the man of the last, 20-something hours on WIP, we've been talking about his list today, pitting Hugh at 66 versus a whole bunch of players you should be ahead of. Herb in the Northeast up here on WIP. Herb.
Hey, Joe, I'm not, I was at the airport at 12:30 last night.
Okay.
I'm not happy with you.
What did I do?
Okay.
We're talking about your list.
You made the list.
This is your list.
It's your list.
That's right. That's right. But the thing is, originally it was going to be top 50, but then I decided to add 30 more people. I did that list in 45 minutes at my house the other day. I gave it to Spike yesterday and Ike, okay? Mm-hmm. Jack was the one that said, okay, do it. Jack was the one that actually, when I told him about it, I did it, okay? So I'm not a hockey guy, okay?
Clearly.
I watch the games, okay? Listen, I got top 100, okay?
So you've got 20 more.
I already sent that to Jack.
Okay.
I got 20 more, but Hugh Douglas got moved up from where he was and a few other people, and I moved a few things around, okay, to fit in the 100.
Okay.
So, I got the list here. I'm at Tiffany's right now. Ready to pay my bill.
I didn't get to bed till 2:30.
What'd you get?
I had to hang up on John Johnson.
Really?
I had to hang up on him.
What'd he do?
That's right, at 2:30 this morning.
Why? What did John do? John being disrespectful?
I got to go to sleep. The girl said I was going to be number one at 2:00, and he put some other dicky dope up there,
He put a slappy on. Yeah, we can't have that. John Johnson.
I gotta go to sleep, man.
It was a bad list.
Yeah. So you moved Hugh up? Hey, I mean, Hugh was too low on that list.
How's your cousin down in Texas?
Omar? Omar's good, man. He'll be
Douglas.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah. Tell him I said hello.
I definitely will.
You know Omar?
You know Omar.
How do you know
Omar? Yeah, I know. From being with you.
Oh, I get it. You know Omar. I get it.
You understand?
Yeah. No,
I know everybody, dude. Everybody, what I'm saying?
So how did you rank Hollis Thomas above Hugh Douglas? Are you serious?
Let me tell you. Hollis Thomas and me were supposed to do a show.
Right.
It was going to be called the H&H Show. And whoever was the producer... Eskin didn't want to do it. Howard Eskin didn't want me to be in on the deal.
Howard was holding you back.
I'm not surprised.
That sounds like Howard.
Yeah, guy's unbelievable.
Another
dope. He's
let me
a
tell
dope.
You.
Howard's a dope.
Zero
he's
trying to become a one, that guy.
Yeah.
He's worse than a dope, man. Let me tell you.
And his son's a dope, too, right?
What else can I tell you? Joe, you're a piece of work. I'm telling you, man.
What did Joe do?
Herb,
right away.
I'm reacting to the list. That's what I do.
You made the list, Herb.
10 o'clock this morning, I'm out of the shower, and I turn you on, and I hear you talking.
You turned Joe on fresh out of the shower?
I heard you... Slandering my name.
That's not
true. Slandered your name.
I'm just reacting.
You just made a really stupid list.
Okay. I'm reacting to the
list. I only did this for fun. The top 100, top 80, whatever you want.
Wait, 80.
It's only for fun. So all you guys, the people I put on from one, Jimmy Rollins, okay? Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Rollins are the same, 5'7".
No.
Jimmy worked hard.
That's where it stops, the comparison.
Yes, he is.
Okay, Herb, you put Pat Burrell over Chase Utley, man. Come on.
I know Jimmy.
Do you even watch
Rollins,
baseball?
Okay? Mm-hmm. You don't know Jimmy like
you,
I know
You don't know Jimmy.
Jimmy. Okay?
Well, I know Jimmy was a great player.
Yes, I do know Jimmy.
No, you don't.
I know all those players.
You know of Jimmy.
Okay?
No, you don't.
Like an ass.
You put Burrell over Utley, Herb.
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you
Pat
something.
Pat Burrow deserves what I did.
No.
You know why?
No, he's not.
Not over Utley.
He got the winning.
It's a joke.
He got the hit that put him on second base.
Don't let them bully
you. And what
you.
They do, then they took him out of the game. And the next guy drove him in, and we won the World
well, that's,
Series.
You know what?
Burrow was a good player.
That's a good counter.
I actually think Burrow's a little
Pat
underrated
Burrow,
now, but he's not eight. Come on.
Let me tell you something about Pat Burrow. His problem was
tell him
he
something.
Used to like to go out with the girls
sure.
after the games at
sure.
night. You know that.
Of course.
And drink. And drink, and you know what? And you know what? You don't want to tell me about Pat Burrow. Let me tell you something about Pat Burrow. He hit a 500-foot shot, okay, mm-hmm. and the scout was in San Francisco.
We lose Herb?
Kyle, you cut it.
I didn't do anything.
Okay.
Probably for the best, though.
He's still
guy,
on the line.
Guy was talking nonsense.
All right, let's just take know. A deep breath. Yeah, I mean, Pat Burrow, I think, is actually underrated at this point, but a number eight on the list, let's be
no,
serious.
Ahead of Utley is a joke.
With that, I mean, number eight on the list
I mean,
is
I'm not
joke.
Sure Herb watches baseball.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now, I think, you know, Herb obviously a little hurt by us reacting to the list or me reacting as strongly as I did. It should be an honor. What we do is we take lists that are out there that are usually by prominent figures and we react. Like the top 100 NFL list where Jalen is 84. We're reacting to the list. Herb should feel flattered that we're reacting. Now, did he get Hugh's placement all wrong? Yeah, of course.
But you
he
know,
did.
You know what else it says, Joe? It to me, this should be a lesson to other people that you know, because Herb was talking about his show and everything.
Yeah.
So this should be a lesson to other people in the area
yep.
that try to do what we do.
Yeah.
Like, have something interesting to say.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Like if you have something interesting to say, then people would either they would listen to you.
You know,
they would listen to what you had to
what
say
you're
if you
saying
had
is,
something to say.
What I'm hearing is Herb's a content machine.
Yeah.
He
created content.
He did.
From yesterday that carried over to today.
Now,
so that should be something that you should be proud of, and that should be a lesson.
You should be, yes.
To certain individuals.
It's not, if Herb could do it, I mean, that's it.
And Herb did that. What did he say? Did it like 45
minutes?
And somebody's been, you know.
Yeah.
It's like some people have been trying to do it forever.
Some people have natural talent. Some people do not.
That's,
Herb's a talented guy. Now, this list is a joke, but that's a different story. 215-592-9494. All right. Speaking of talented, we know Bryce Harper is. He crushed the Nationals last night, broke their hearts again.
Heartbroken.
And then, he heard them yelling at him and chanting at him. So he stuck up the ring finger as he ran around first base. People probably thought it was a different finger. He clarified after the game. They're not happy, apparently, down in D.C. Our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, our guys, J.P. Finlay and B-Mitch, who we've had on our show before, we've done crossovers, what are they saying this morning on their show about Bryce Harper?
I can't wait to hear what B-Mitch had to say.
It's Bryce Harper. Obviously, he was drafted here, played well. They won a World Series. Once he left, I like to point out,
yeah,
he has zero World Series rings, despite being on a Phillies team that is loaded and spends a lot. And little Bryce is mad that people are booing him. Hit it, Jeff.
You gestured out to right field when you're running the bases. Did you hear them chanting? Why
yeah, I mean, obviously. Yeah. Ring finger, though.
Okay.
So make sure that's out there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody heard it. We heard it the other night. I mean, they're doing the same thing to Trey. Which is crazy because they should probably know their history a little bit with them winning the World Series here. And it's weird coming from a fan base, obviously, that I sweated for 7 years.
You play in Philadelphia, dude. Shut up.
They boo him in Philly when he doesn't do well.
Yeah.
What do you say about ring finger? Because he don't have no ring.
Good point.
All right. So, I mean, I guess he was asking about when he flipped him off, I guess. And he said ring finger. He don't have a ring.
Yeah, it's because when he was running around the bases, he flipped him off with the ring finger instead of the middle finger.
That's kind of hard to do. Makes sure.
It's easy.
Takes a little bit of effort.
It's hard for me to do.
When you the mischievous cousin, it's easy for me.
I wonder if Monumental showed that.
Ring finger.
It is a ring finger, just like Bryce. He should shut up.
Is that how it ends? He should shut up? That's it?
That's it. You couldn't, I wanted to hear what B-Mitch had to say, because it sounded like, first of all, it sounded like B-Mitch was eating a sandwich.
nobody's ever had anything.
You former Eagles.
No, I'm just saying, it sounded like B-Mitch eating a sandwich.
Guys,
I got a text, me like, were you eating a sandwich?
He's eating sandwiches, you're eating candy on the
yeah,
air. What are we doing around here?
But, The nerve I have to call out another host.
I know.
For eating on the air. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you hypocrite.
Would Bryce have been better off just giving them the actual finger?
Yes.
The reaction is, oh, that he crossed the line or whatever. Do you care? Like, does that affect?
No, because it's confusing.
Because the ring gets everyone. Because that response is natural. Like, where's
because
your
if you
ring?
Point or you could like you know when you. Like, because when you do the death finger, it's like, what are you talking about, a ring? Most people that do the ring finger, they do this.
They point to
the finger.
But,
you know, like,
but Bryce doesn't
when,
have
when,
a ring.
When Jerry Rice came here and people were booing him, he actually had his rings, and he put them on each one of his fingers.
He had
and,
a lot of rings.
And did this. So that's where it didn't track. And it made you think, like, why would you – if you're gonna be that emboldened and you feel that kind of way about it, just flipping the bird, man. Just flip them the bird.
I think because, actually it would be easier.
Because you know what's funny? They bleeped it out anyway, like you flipped them the bird. And the storyline is you flipped them the bird. Now it's like it makes you look silly, to be honest, because you didn't. You flipped the ring finger. Now everybody's pointing out the fact that you don't have a ring.
Right.
Because that's what winners do. Like when winners talk about, you know, when they do stuff like that, you automatically say, oh, he won a ring. So that's why he did that. You didn't do that. So that's why it's weird.
I agree. I wouldn't anticipate Bryce would actually give the Nationals fans the finger. It doesn't feel like his brand, but he kind of did anyway. And then it was the other finger. It was the ring finger. Let's go to Eric, who's up on WIP. Hey, Eric.
Hey guys.
Me.
Hey, Eric.
Thank you for taking my call. I have to hurry up. I'm the secretary for the local chapter of the Ronald McDonald Fan Club here in Sonoma County. Okay. So, thank you.
Okay, I'm glad we got you in before you had to go back to work.
Thanks, Eric. You really found your niche.
No problem.
It's the deadpanning of the jokes.
You found your lane. I can't do nothing about it. Hey, it's okay.
If you missed it yesterday, Hugh ranked Ronald McDonald as his top clown of all time.
Grew up a big fan, he said.
Grew up a big fan.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay.
All right.
So, can I do the Hugh list, the 56th rank, whatever? I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, ready to get right to it.
All right. You know what? Let me give you a good one then. All right. So, Hugh was ranked 66 on Herb's list here. Who do you think was a better Philadelphia athlete since 2000? Hugh Douglas or Cliff Lee?
Oh, Hugh Douglas. No question.
Okay. You know what? I don't think that's no question.
Wait a minute. Didn't Cliff Lee win a World Series? Was it? No, he was a part of the Four Horsemen, though, right?
Yeah, so
no,
he,
the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. There was one of them.
He helped them get back in 2009, but they lost to the Yankees.
Okay.
Now, he and Eric, good phone call. The only two games they won, Cliff Lee pitched. Game one, game five.
Okay.
Like, in terms of doing your part, Cliff Lee absolutely did his part in 2009. He dominated.
I like Cliff Lee. I'm a fan of Cliff Lee.
I think Cliff Lee against you is a pretty tough one. Now, Cliff Lee did not win a Cy Young, but he got really close, right? If he wasn't pitching with Roy Halladay or in the same league as Clayton Kershaw, he might have won a Cy Young. He was an awesome postseason pitcher. And he was here, in terms of the 2000s, probably the roughly the same time you were here, because you were here four years.
Yeah, no, you know what? You know what it was? I remember we did the Subway Series. It was me and shout out to John Belairs. And I remember we were at Fox, and they lost it because John had... We lit up Philly Blunts on the program. We lit them up on the broadcast
on TV.
Or was it the World? It was one of the times, and they were like, "What the hell are you guys doing?" And it was wild. It was wild. But we're doing the coverage.
Yeah, of the World Series.
Of the World Series, yes.
Kyle, better Philly athletes since 2000, Hugh or Cliff Lee?
I'd never seen Cliff Lee unload on Sean King's back.
That's true.
I hate you, Kyle.
He did dominate a game one of the World Series, though.
Did that not happen?
You take it too far.
I mean, I asked the question, he answered. That was his answer.
You take it way too far.
I don't know what the problem is.
Cliff Lee
had... With a straight face, huh? Okay, I got you.
I actually think it's a tough one. Cliff Lee was here parts of 4 years, 2009, back in 2011, 2012, 2013. He was here 2001, 2002, and 2004.
They both had gap years.
Actually kind of similar. They were not the best player on their team, but they were close at points to the best player on their own team.
So it's a push.
That one's pretty close to push.
Yeah. Tiebreaker is the unloading.
All right. Neither won a championship, so the tiebreaker is the unloading on Sean King. I could buy that. Cliff Lee ranked 23rd on Herb's list. 215-592-9494.
It's a Friday.
It is a Friday. We're about to get much classier on this show because we're going to bring a guest in. In studio, Milt Thompson is going to join us. We'll talk some Phils, but also we're going to talk about the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up here in Philadelphia. So there's a lot of All-Star Game stuff going on around the game, right? They have the Futures game. There's like a celebrity thing. The home run derby on Monday, the game on Tuesday. But on the Friday, leading into All-Star Weekend, it's the HBCU Classic. Milt Thompson, a part of it. He was part of it last year in Atlanta. He's going to tell us all about it. Excited to have Milt Thompson in studio with us next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And you know what we have going on here? We can't forget. It's Fridays here on the show, which means Fan Cash Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest-growing sportsbook. You have to be the 10th caller right now to our contest line. Kyle, can you give out that contest number? Because people need to know that there was a big thing on the morning show as they were debating the contest number this morning live on the air.
Hold on. They were debating it?
Yes, because Joe said he had the wrong one. James said he had the right one. No, and it lasted two full minutes.
Did either of them have 445-544-8300?
They got there eventually.
Okay.
All right. So that's
the correct number.
445-544-8300.
Yes.
There's your number right there. Hop on that contest line for your chance to win $100 in FanCast from Fanatic Sportsbook every Friday. Winning hits different right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.